Time once again for WBFO's Behind the Bench, our weekly look at the Buffalo Sabres. I'm Omar Fatu. I'm joined by Sabres reporter Bill Hoppe. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Omar.
The Sabres are on a Western road trip. They lost to Anaheim 1-0 on Wednesday night. And these games out west are on pretty late our time. For fans who can't stay up until 1 in the morning, what did they miss?
If you missed the Sabres 1-0 loss, you didn't miss much. They got shut out for the fifth time this year. It was a very heavy game, physical game. The Ducks are one of the league's most physical teams, a typical Western Conference game, a lot of people might say. And the Sabres actually played okay, but at the end of the day, they didn't score a goal. They lost to the league's hottest team. And right before Christmas, the Sabres had beaten up the Ducks. It was probably rock bottom for the Ducks. And since then, Anaheim's kind of morphed back into the team that everyone thought they would be this year, and they're a big cup contender.
Since we last spoke, forward Ryan O'Reilly suffered a foot injury. He could be out for another 3 weeks. Talk about what his loss means to the team.
His loss is huge. He can't be replaced by just moving someone up or recalling a player or even making a trade. He's by far their best player, their most versatile player, their team MVP. He plays in every situation on the ice, and he excels in every situation. We're talking about the Sabres' only all-star, a guy who had played more than any forward in the league this year, a guy who had taken almost 5,000 face-offs. So you just don't replace a guy like that. It's going to be a tough, tough loss. They've been one of the league's worst teams with all that. But if you want to look at a positive from this, if you want to call it that, the Sabres have Jack Eichel. They have Sam Reinhart, the last two number two overall picks. Reinhart's moving back to center. They have some young guys who can take the minutes, take the different situations that they weren't playing in before, and maybe thrive in them. So those minutes, the extra faceoffs they take in the game, the different situations they're in, that could benefit them in the long run.
Earlier this week, general manager Tim Murray traded defenseman Mike Weber to Washington for a third-round pick. Weber was the longest-tenured Sabre, never a big point producer, but you called him a heart-and-soul player.
He definitely was a heart-and-soul player for the Sabres for 8 years, a passionate, proud guy, and not a lot of guys like him who just, you could see it on his face, you could hear it in his voice. He was very, very proud to play for the Sabres. He was the last man standing from eras gone by. He played for four coaches, two ownership regimes. He came up when the Sabres were kind of an up-and-coming team. He was with them through some good days, their last playoff run. He said his favorite memory was setting up Tyler Ennis' overtime winner in the Sabres' last playoff win in 2011 in Philadelphia. And in recent years, the Sabres' decline really, really stung him. After many Buffalo fans cheered against the Sabres last March against the Coyotes, a loss that kind of secured at least the first or second overall pick, he was hurt by that, and he said it. And I think a lot of fans didn't like that, but that was something that kind of wounded him. And he had a very nice rebound year this year. He wasn't good for 2 years. He had among the league's worst plus-minus rating. But this year he really got back to being his old self, just a reliable third-pair defenseman. And defensemen are always in demand, especially at this time of year. And I think he'll fit in well with the Capitals. He knows he has a special opportunity joining the league's best team. And I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here, but I wouldn't be surprised if come July 1st, he resigns with the Sabres. He loves Buffalo. He calls it his home. He says he grew up here. And the Sabres are going to need defense depth come the summer. They really don't have anyone in the pipeline, and they're going to be in the market for a sixth, seventh defenseman like Mike Weber. So maybe in a few months he's back here.
Well, the NHL trade deadline is Monday. Who else could be moved?
There's a few guys I think could be moved. Most of them upcoming unrestricted free agents. And the biggest name in that group, of course, is winger Jamie McGinn. General manager Tim Murray has said he's talked to McGinn's camp about a new contract. But if they can't agree, I think it's almost certain he'll be traded. He's probably one of the best rental players on the market. And this is going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because the Sabres haven't had a soon-to-be free agent who was either going to be re-signed or traded since, I believe, Tim Connolly in 2009. And that went right down to the wire, and he signed an extension on deadline day, hours before the deadline. And I wouldn't be surprised if something similar happened with McGinn. And Jamie McGinn, he's making $3 million this year. He'll be due a substantial raise if he hits the open market. I think he needs to weigh if the grass is going to be greener on the other side somewhere else. Maybe he can make more money, but he might not have what he has here. And in Buffalo, he fits in on any line. He can play either side. He's become a first or second liner. He gets good ice. He plays on the power play. He's grown very close to Jack Eichel. And if he goes somewhere else, he's not going to be able to play beside Jack Eichel for the final years of his prime. I think these are all things that he's thinking about right now. Another guy who will probably be in demand is backup goalie Chad Johnson. He's quietly had a very strong year, in my opinion. He's kind of the perfect backup, you could say. He can carry the load if he needs to. He understands his role as the backup, but he's also driven at the same time to become a starter. And I think a number of teams could use a guy like him, most notably the St. Louis Blues, who are going to be without Brian Elliott for a while. Then there are some other veterans with expiring contracts. David Leguan, a fourth liner. A team just might want him to be their 13th or 14th forward, to be a guy a young guy can room with, to just be a locker room guy. There's also injured defenseman Cody Franzen. He has a year left on his contract, but you kind of wonder where he fits in with the Sabres. He's known as a power play guy, but in the last week or two, he hasn't even played on the power play. So I think there could be some interest there, because when he's on his game, he's a pretty good point producer and he's pretty cheap. And of course, we've learned in 2 years of general manager Tim Murray's run here to expect the unexpected. He has a penchant for the big trade. A lot of those type of trades don't happen at the deadline, but never rule anything out with him. There's still a bunch of guys on the roster that are from the Darcy Regier regime. He didn't draft them. He didn't acquire them. And I wouldn't be shocked if something we weren't expecting, something beyond those four or five upcoming free agents, went down.
Sabres reporter Bill Hoppe joins us each week for WBFO's Behind the Bench. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Omar.